Bibles to the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 2. If there is one passage in the book of Acts that almost everybody knows, it's this passage, chapter 2. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the end of chapter 2, the community of the church, but right now we're focusing on the Pentecost event and what the Holy Spirit is doing in using His Word and Peter and the blessings that come to bear. So let's pray, and then we'll read God's Word together. Father, we thank You for the declaration in Your Word that You wrote by the power of the Spirit to tell us that the prophets did not write from their own imagination, but they wrote as they were carried along by Your Spirit, and You caused them to write Your Word. And Father, we thank You that even in that, we discern that You are a God who wants to be known, and You are a God who wants Your Word to be known, and so You communicate it. You reveal it. And in that way, Father, we ask that You will give us that same Holy Spirit, that You will give us the work and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that You would create among us the acoustics that we would be able to hear Your Word. Not just to physically hear the pronunciation and elucidation of my speech, but that we would hear Your Holy Word as You cause Your Word to penetrate into minds made new and hearts that have been made new by Your authority and Your power. That we would hear Your Word as those who have been made alive who were dead in transgression and sin. That we would listen to You as the product of everything that You have done. And that we would realize that You are speaking because You are drawing us to Yourself. That You are going to consume us with Yourself in Your Word. And You're going to bless us as the mighty God, nurturing and caring and guiding His people. And so with that anticipation, we eagerly, Father, look to Your Word and pray for Your blessing on this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors even from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And he said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This much that we read God's word, and I invite you to keep your Bible open, to look at the outline when necessary as we talk about this passage. And I suppose in some ways we could have stop the reading at somewhere around verse 15 or 16, because we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on Peter's actual message today. Baseball phenom Bryce Harper turned down a 10-year contract from the Washington Nationals for $300 million. $300 million. It was the biggest offer made by any of the four professional major teams in the United States. Biggest offer, bigger than any NFL offer, bigger than any NBA offer, this baseball offer. $300 million would provide a well-supplied life, wouldn't you say? What would be the value of the supply to have Lord God Almighty as your personal supply and power and force? How much is God worth? $300 would buy a lot of right here, right now. God provides a lot of in this and in that and around this and around that, and that $300 million stops at death or before. And strangely enough, these athletes that get these massive contracts, some of them 5 to 7 years after have nothing left. When God is our supply, he promises to be our supply from before we knew he was there until time everlasting. there is no end to His blessing. 300 million can create a well-supplied life, but can it provide supply or security for the next life? And the Lord God, given freely at Pentecost and to every believer in Jesus Christ since that day, promises His supply for today and forevermore. And obviously, the reading that we just heard and looked at and you followed along in is the most definitive statement on the coming and blessing of the Holy Spirit in the entire Bible. This is God the Spirit taking control. This is God the Spirit inspiring confidence in His most important task, which is making Jesus the Son known. And this text declares the unleashing authority and force of the church to the world. This one passage is the definitive passage proving that the new age has come. And it's the greatest mission text the Bible contains. But, there's always a but. But is that why Luke penned Acts 2? Did Luke sit down to say, "My dear buddy Theophilus, I have great theology to teach you"? Or did he say, "I want to tell you how the mission of Jesus Christ became the mission of the church"? Just want to give you that information. He could have done that, and he actually did. But that doesn't seem to be his specific message to Theophilus, and therefore to you and me as readers along with Theophilus. For Luke penned these majestic themes and these huge, shattering messages about the mission of the church in the context of a fairly simple story. If we listen to gospel writer and author of Acts, the man Luke, we hear him say, "Theophilus, I supplied the careful research. I supplied the proof. I supplied the certainty that you have the teaching of the Bible as a solid foundation for your life. It is like asphalt. And the church has been teaching what the Bible teaches, and you can be confident in that. That is your asphalt foundation." And that's his gospel message. So now he comes in his second letter to Theophilus and he challenges him in simple terms and he says, "Now, live your life on that foundation. Live your life according to the supply given by the Holy Spirit and let me show you what that looks like." And so Luke is describing a life built upon God. God laid the foundation. That's the Gospel of Luke, right? God laid the foundation. The Gospel of Luke is the careful research, the examination of a very learned man who's determined to write it down for Theophilus so that he would know the catechesis of the church, his language, catechesis, the systematic teaching of the church, that he would know that this systematic teaching of the church is a solid foundation for biblical life. But Acts 2 shows more than that. It shows the Spirit taking control. In verse 1 says, the event happened at Pentecost. It happened at the Old Testament feast of Shavuot in Hebrew. Shavuot is the festival with double meaning. It's the festival of the first harvest of the early wheat. It's when those early grains come and it is the offering of first fruits. It is also the feast commemorating the gift of the Torah, the gift of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. It is the feast of bread. It is the feast of bread for the body and bread for the soul. It's the feast to celebrate God giving and sustaining life through grains that He brings to bear and be ground into flour and through the grains that He creates through His word that nourish the soul and the heart. It's a feast to celebrate God-giving life, that without food we would die, and without God's word we would die or remain dead. And the Spirit creates the attention-getter in verse 2. He created the sound of the mighty rushing wind, and you know that sound. It's a sound that's eerie, if not even frightening. You heard it this week. One night. Was it Tuesday night? You heard that wind coming up the streets and you listened. And you've heard it at other times when you walk around to see if a door's been left open or a window ajar, because you actually feel the power of that wind. You've heard it with such force coming that you could hear it 2-3 blocks away, and you're listening and it's coming closer and closer, and you're going, I wonder if I lose my shingles tonight. Right? You've heard that sound. That's the sound he's talking about. The noise of a mighty wind. Not a little wind. The noise of a mighty wind. This is earth-shaking wind. This is tremendous noise. And we might even be a bit afraid. What will this wind do? Will a tree fall down? Will a branch go through my window? Will I finally get my new roof? And the Spirit came and he filled every one of them in the room, verses 1 and 4. Maybe it's the same 120 that Luke has been talking about. Most likely it is. And God is working. He's touching all 120. There are no exclusions. That this is his select group. And the Spirit opens their voice boxes and the Spirit loosens their tongues and they speak in other languages. And the Spirit chooses for each one of them and they have utterance. And Luke shows that God picked the time. Verse 5, every nation under heaven was represented at that feast that particular year. That Jerusalem had become this cosmic center at that particular time. And historians say, was there something else going on? And they find out that, yes, there was something, that there was more travel from Egypt and more travel through the east. And it's something that people were kind of thinking about going to Rome or wherever. And it had become actually a cultural, political trade center again. Old Testament Israel, if you remember David and Solomon, where were they sending their ships? All over the world. All over the world. You look at that period of history, non-biblical, just look at that period of history. The merchants of the world were coming out of Israel, plying their trade, connecting nations, bringing spices. Jerusalem became a spice capital. And now it's like Luke is telling us in code, this is like the day of David again. That Israel, Jerusalem is now a center of commerce again. Rome tried to oppress it, but it has become the center of trade. And people from every nation in the world are here. You can buy things in Jerusalem you can't buy anywhere else. And in that setting, the days of David and Solomon are back, as it were. And ships from Israel traverse the globe, and people travel, and people unite. And they've come together for this feast, and at this time, they're all represented. They're there. And the wind captures their attention and brings them from the outside to look around. And they no longer hear the wind, verse 6. They heard the wind, but that was the attention getter. And when they step out their door, they hear people speaking in their own language. Because, secondly, God triggered the witness. God laid the foundation, and God triggered the witness. God created the attention getter, and God supplied the glossalia, the tongues, the languages. And the 120 speak as God enables them. And the nations from every nation under heaven, that means about 186 of them, representatives. So of 120 people are now speaking and being heard in 186, or maybe more or less, but 186 different languages. How does that work? And now there's even a new study to say that it was maybe 195 or maybe 203 and maybe even more than that, because there were nations popping up and being discovered. And we don't know, and that doesn't matter. What matters is that there are only 120 speakers and there are 180 people hearing in their own language. And God's working another miracle. He's just calling attention. In verses 7 and 8, elaborate and get an elaboration in 9 and 10 and 11. Verse 11, how can we hear them telling us in our own language? It doesn't make any sense. How can these people who spoke Aramaic and Greek, who may have had a little bit of biblical Hebrew and Latin added to their repertoire, how can they speak in the language of the Persians? And how can they speak in the language of the Libyans and the Cyrenes? And how can we hear the mighty works of God from them in our language? And it's because God, point C, has unleashed the story. God picked the time. God created the scene. God equipped the messengers. God created the acoustics for each one to hear in their own language. And Luke is telling Theophilus, brother, worry less about where you're standing and you're apologetic and trust more in the sovereign foundation of God and the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit to use you. He will create both the event and speaker. He will create the acoustics in the hearer. He's telling Theophilus in this story, he's telling Theophilus to be confident in his own life, in his own speech. God has sovereignly placed you on a very solid foundation, Theophilus. God has placed you on the foundation of a church that has a catechetical system that is sound. God has placed you here and now live your life. And you say, but I am too timid to speak. And you say, that's not your problem. Your problem is you're not trusting your God, because your God can create the situation and he can make your speech appear as understandable, even when you're babbling. Speak the truth of your testimony, that you know the fact of God, you know the fact of the foundation laid in Jesus Christ. Speak that and let God make that make sense in the life of people around you. Luke is telling Theophilus to trust the sovereign personal work of the Holy Spirit to create both event and speaker and the acoustic of hearing. And of course, the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that God came to them via his ministry in the exact same way. Did faith come to you by works of the law? Did faith come to you because you were so obedient to the Old Testament? Or did faith come to you by the acoustics of hearing Jesus? He says, you're changed when you heard the gospel of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that's the same way. That's the same way that God's word came to you and me. I mean, some of us had the privilege, I had the privilege of growing in an exceptional Christian family. I had the privilege of a mentoring of a grandmother saying to me, where did you take Jesus today, when I was a young boy staying at her house. I had the privilege of them reading the gospel together, and my grandfather talking to me about the gospel when we were straightening a barn or building a garage. And I had the privilege of the father and mother that were leading and guiding. And Luke is saying, that's great, but the work that gets done is done by the Holy Spirit using all of those situations. You are not the product of your parents as much as you are the product of the Holy Spirit transforming all of this. He's using those great events that he put in place, the great event of grandparents that are believing grandparents, and the great event of parents that are believing parents. But it is the Holy Spirit doing all that. It's not them. Don't take the glory away from God who's doing the work. He is there. He's using. He created these environments. He created this sovereign pattern. And he's telling Theophilus, it's not that I prepare so well or organize the argument so well. The truth is that God is using the specific people. He's continuing to do that. And he's calling you and me to give our best at every effort, to redouble the effort of being obedient to him because of his word that has been made known to us. And you and I become honor-bound to give our best, understand what God's word says, and to be obedient before God in the way that he communicates. And we do that because we hear the storyline. The challenge in the workshops that we're going to face is dealing with leaders that already have hearts and minds set strong in a certain style. And we're going to ask them to listen to the Bible as a piece of music, and to listen to the melody. And so we look at the book of Acts, you and I now, and we see this great passage that has, if I may, Kayla, that has the aria of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, that has the aria of the mission of the church, that has the aria of the confusion of the people. And yet there is a melody. A melody that keeps bringing us back to say, the Holy Spirit is doing this. The Holy Spirit has caused this. The Holy Spirit is using the simple people of God when they don't even know how they're being used. And so he puts that in a letter and he hands it to Theophilus, or however it was communicated to him. And Luke, Theophilus reads this and he hears the melody. And he says, Luke is encouraging me to be a servant of God, trusting the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit give me speech, letting the Holy Spirit create the hearing, letting Jesus be known. We hear the storyline. We see not a collection of theological data or a historic novel. We hear the heartbeat of a challenge. And we find a majestic conclusion that God grants blessing. When you and I hear the storyline of Luke, we hear him telling Theophilus God is building on the foundation of Christ. We hear this challenge letter to say God did the same in me and now he does it in you. And we realize that God is continuing. He is continuing to show the wonders of the gospel of Jesus. God laid the foundation, God worked the salvation, and God gave us the new heart to embrace it, and so we give God the glory. And then he says to you, and now you bear witness. That's the message of Acts 1, right? Now you bear witness, bear testimony. And Peter stands up to preach. And who is Peter and who made him preacher? But the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes from arresting and murdering and giving approval to the murder of Christians to become the greatest spokesman of the Christian church from that day until today. But who is Paul? And who changed his life? It's only because God created a particular acoustic for him to hear Jesus' voice on the road to Damascus that he spun and was undone. And he met Jesus. And God's Spirit did his particular work in Peter. And God's Spirit did his particular work in Paul. And God's Spirit does his particular work in each one of us that we come to know Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, God establishes in us Christ. And God has anointed us. And God has put his seal upon us and given his Holy Spirit in our hearts of the guarantee of his claim and his work in us and for us, that the Holy Spirit is given to us. Similarly, Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Verse 15. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, who you have from God? Verse 19. And brothers and sisters, we have that same Spirit, for there is only one. Everyone called to God in Christ through the gift of faith hears to the acoustics of that same Spirit. And everyone lets us hear Christ in our own language, or God himself lets us hear Christ in our own language, in our own head, in our own heart, at our own time, in our own way. And some of us look back and say, why was I so late to the party? I knew so much, but I'm late. And others are just discovering and realizing, and the life is just welling up within them. But we have a well-supplied life by the power of Almighty God and His Spirit. And so the day to live new has come. The Old Testament is fulfilled. Peter, verse 16. This is that, from Joel to today. This is that. That's what he says. This is that. This today is that that Joel talked about. What Joel prophesied, you see happening right now before your very eyes. The Bible is fulfilled in your hearing. You are seeing and you are experiencing and you are believing, because that's exactly what the prophet said was going to happen, and this is it. And so we ask today, has the Bible gone quiet? Has God relegated his word to promise characteristic again? It's still going to be fulfilled someday, some way. Was the fulfillment of Joel just a first century peek into the 21st century, or the 31st century, or the 41st century? Or is this the day? Is this the day that God speaks? Is this the day that His Word is fulfilled? Is this the day in our hearts and our minds when God's Spirit penetrates that we hear Him? And we listen to Peter, verse 22. Men of Israel, Jesus fulfilled the words of the prophets. It's fulfillment time. Verse 24, men of Israel, God raised Jesus from the dead. Verse 32, men of Israel, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses. Verse 33, and this same Jesus whom you crucified, God raised and is now exalted. He has received what the Father promised, and He has poured out as a one-time reality what you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So Peter tells us that what God did on that day is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit for every day. He continues to draw attention to Jesus, continuing to make alive. That one-time reality means fulfillment and pouring out for all time and all events. And verse 36 becomes the mark of certainty or authenticity. The crucified Jesus is Lord and Christ. Because of who Jesus is, the only person in history to be God and man, truly, fully God and truly, fully man. And this historic person, though crucified, is now alive, and He has been exalted. He is the one to whom the Old Testament pointed. He is the Lord God. He is the appearance and the message of every promise the Bible contains. Because of Jesus, verse 40, Peter says, get with the program. Because of Jesus, save yourselves from this generation that will pull you down and will destroy you. Peter tells the religious elite and the religiously devoted from all over the world that following culture is their trajectory to perishing. So wherever you come from, all over the world, all these nations, unless you're following Jesus, you're in trouble. And by hearing through the acoustics of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the person and work of Jesus, the Spirit Himself supplies new life. And 3,000 hear and affirm that blessing. And we say today, oh, for a Pentecost experience in our day. And don't you know that the Pentecost number is being exceeded every single day? There are more than 3,000. I think the number is somewhere around 3,600, 3,700 every single day in Africa and Asia alone coming to Jesus. God is continuing to draw. And here we're post-Christian, so it's a little bit slower because we all know better. But that's not the debate. The issue is not what is God going to do to create new life there and there and there. It's what is He doing here? What is He doing as the Holy Spirit manifests Himself and creates the relational connection in the human heart? Peter tells the religious elite, the religiously devoted, people all over the world, if you're following culture, you're on the path to perish. And by hearing through the acoustics of the Holy Spirit, Jesus now stands, and the message of Jesus now stands as more important than the patterns of culture. The Apostle Paul picks it up and he says, do not continue to conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. That it's the Holy Spirit working, connecting heart to mind, changing life. There it is. And Peter is telling us that we are well supplied for life as a child of God. And Heidelberg Catechism sums it up and says so well. The Holy Spirit has been given to me personally. The Holy Spirit has been given to me personally, so that by true faith, He makes me share in Christ and all of His blessings. We're well supplied. We share in Christ and all His blessings. Every single blessing of Christ, we become a share in that blessing. And from that point on, He comforts me, He remains with me forever. We are well supplied for life. The Holy Spirit has been given to me personally, so that by true faith He makes me share in Christ and all His blessings. He comforts me and remains with me forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for working in such a way that You give of Yourself as Almighty God. That God the Son humbled Himself to be our Savior. You, God the Father, laid out the plan and the condition, and it was Your offense that must be satisfied. And God the Spirit is unleashed by You, Father and Son, to lead us into truth. To lead us into the newness of life. To be the personal supply to create within us the acoustics of faith. To create within us a faith that transforms our thinking and our acting. And to create Your presence to comfort us and to remain with us forever. To bear whatever life may hold. And do so because You have determined our everlasting destiny. And You have made it secure in Jesus. And You ratify it and guarantee it in Your Spirit. And so, Father, this day, because of Your message, because of Your work, we praise You and we adore You. And we go even as far as the song says, and we lay our lives before You. And we pray this in Jesus' name.